This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wait. Yeah, we're up. Yeah, we're going to pick. Okay. All right, thanks, man. Yeah, we're going to play, Steve. All right, later. All right.
Got it.
All right.
Adam. Peter.
That was from Commander's Log, the video series that the team puts out on its social media pages and its YouTube. Think of it as like a very team-friendly Hard Knocks. This is the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on Thursday and Friday. Kevin is back on Monday. What you heard in that clip was Dan Quinn being just like us. He is, in fact, like us.
One of us.
Saying, let Adam Peters cook.
Get in the kitchen.
I love it when the memes of the internet make its way into the front office, but I say that with the purest of intentions, because I do think that it is funny that everyone is adapting this idea of let Adam Peters cook. I like Commander's Log. And there's a lot of stuff we're going to get into. We will cycle back to this eventually. I'd love Commander's Log. If you are excited about Hard Knocks, you should be watching the Commander's Log. I think the social team does a really good job. There's a part that we're going to play later in the show, Max, that had me ready to run through a wall. I saw it. It was from Josh Connerly, and I was like, can it be July now? Forget June. Forget like the 4th of July. Like, give me training camp. Give me preseason. I'm ready to go. So yeah. You will hear that throughout the course of the show. We got three great guests coming up. Jordan DeGianni is going to join us in an hour to talk all the latest headlines in the NFL. Mark Zuckerman is going to be with us. He's live in Seattle. The Nats got a big win last night, absolutely shredding the Seattle Mariners. And then Shehan Jeyaraja from CBS Sports is going to be with us to talk about the future of college football. If you're a fan of the sport and you are paying attention to any of the headlines that are coming out of Destin, where the SEC meetings are taking place, we have a lot of changes that are coming to the sport that I love. And I know there's a lot of listeners that love college football. So the latest on that at noon. But we start with arguably the biggest story that we can. In late May, Jalen Ramsey yesterday strung together a string of tweets effectively saying goodbye to Miami. Maybe I'm reading a little bit too between the lines with this, but when he says I'm ready for the next chapter, I don't think he means the 2025 season. I think what he means is that he does not want to be in Miami anymore. And Jalen Ramsey has been tied to Washington through various reports during this 2025 offseason. Now that feels a little bit more open to realistically happening with him firing these tweets off. Now, I do want to point out, it is very important for those of us that are fans of the team just to pay attention to who is tweeting reports about the Commanders being interested. It's a lot of national people, which is fine. I think national people do a very good job. But I would just like to, and I'm not going to name anyone in particular, but I just want to point out, when it comes to people that are linking Washington to a guy like Jalen Ramsey, this front office does not talk to these people. Or maybe they talk to these people, but they don't talk to these people the way that Ron talked to these people. Ron Rivera would give you the first 15 scripted plays, if you really asked for it. This front office does not do that. So when you see reports from guys on ESPN, on CBS, Fox, whoever, it's not just one person. It's the litany of all of the national reporters. They don't get a lot of clarity from this front office group. So just keep that in mind when it comes to the Jalen Ramsey stuff. I, though, Max, in sitting and thinking about this, I have discovered exactly how I would want if Washington goes and makes Jalen Ramsey a Commander, I have discovered exactly how I want this to go down.
Oh, yeah?
If it's via trade, which at this point it would have to be. It would have to be via trade. That's the best thing for Miami. He wants out of Miami. Miami clearly wants out of him. Contract situation is going to be tough, but if it's a post-June 1 trade, it does become a little bit easier. A little bit easier. Not a lot of it easier, but a little bit easier. Just for context, if they were to release Jalen Ramsey before June 1st, which is today, tomorrow, the day after that, and that's it. So if it's just the next 3 days, the dead cap hit is $49 million. So they are not going to be doing that.
No.
He is not going to be getting released before June 1st. If it is after June 1st, that dead cap in a release for 2025 goes down to $30 million. Better, I guess, still not great. If it's a trade, the dead cap pre-June 1st is $29 million for Miami. If it's post-June 1st, it is going to be $10 million. So that seems easy, right? You don't have to be a math major to know that $10 million is clearly the best option of that. So I say this to say, if you are going to trade for Jalen Ramsey, I'm not on board with that, if I'm being honest. But if you are going to, I will play the devil's advocate. If you're going to trade for Jalen Ramsey, you are trading Marshawn Lattimore as a part of that trade.
You know, as you were building up to it, I was like, is he going to say?
He's going to say it. If you trade for Jalen Ramsey, Marshawn Lattimore is a part of that trade.
I don't hate it.
You do not need to stack a guy in Marshawn Lattimore who is not at OTAs yesterday. I don't love that. Don't hate it. It's voluntary. I get it. But I don't love when a guy who did not perform great last year, especially in the postseason, is not at OTAs, at least yesterday. We will see if he is there today. I cannot imagine that he will be there today unless someone said that yesterday and I missed it. I listened to everybody.
Haven't seen anything.
Have not seen a report that said he just missed Wednesday. He'll be here Thursday. So I'm not expecting to see him there. If he is there, I will change my tune. But if you get, if you have Marshawn Lattimore, who was not good at the end of the year last year, and he's not showing up, I do feel like that makes him a little bit more expendable, especially if you really, really love Jalen Ramsey. I want a defensive pass rusher. Let me make that abundantly clear. And it is actually starting to make me very upset that there has not been a defensive pass rusher that has been acquired that I can put a lot of faith in. But if you want to go for Jalen Ramsey, you trade Marshawn Lattimore. I do not think you can spend the assets and then the then money to the, then trot out Lattimore, Ramsey, and then decide between Santerstall and Trey Amos, and then one of those dudes is riding the bench. Mikey Santerstall is too good to be riding the bench right now. After what we saw last year, the way that he played against A.J. Brown, the way that he played against Detroit, the way that he played against everybody, even when Lattimore wasn't doing great, with Mike Evans, who stepped up to the matchup? It was Mikey Santerstall. That dude would play really well against guys that had at least 6 inches of height on him. Didn't seem to matter. I do not think you can have Mikey Santerstall ride the bench, but then I also would be very confused if you draft this guy, Trey Amos, who, as I watched Commander's log yesterday, they love Trey Amos. They love him. Now, I understand the Commander's log bit. You are not going to put a video or a clip in there of guys being like, damn it, I hate that we have to pick him, but we're going to pick him. What they did show was that there were guys that were calling. They didn't tell us who, but there were teams that were calling for that pick.
They gave some hints.
They gave some hints, I think, for the first one. I don't know if they gave hints for the second one.
If you do some diving, there were initials thrown out there. There was
there was first names, but yeah, there wasn't.
He made a joke about the in-division tax. I don't know if that was to
that was
Howie
for
Roseman.
Connerly, but that was to Howie. I don't know if that was to Howie Roseman or if that was to the Giants.
Yeah, because that was a different call.
Because the Giants traded up to then go get Jackson Dart. That was when they were talking about getting Connerly.
Yeah.
But they decided to not go out of the, to trade out of that second round spot to draft Trey Amos. I cannot wrap my head around doing that, thinking that Trey Amos and Mikey Santerstall would likely be your guys of the future in the cornerback position when eventually Marcus Lattimore or Marshawn Lattimore is done. And then when eventually, if you get Jalen Ramsey, is done, you have those two guys, hopefully on the back end of your defense to be the guys moving forward. You would then put one of them on the bench if you go out and you get Jalen Ramsey and you keep Marshawn Lattimore. So if you want Jalen Ramsey and you want to trade for Jalen Ramsey, you trade Marshawn Lattimore. And your thought is, all right, we will give you Marshon Lattimore. That is an expiring contract. The Dolphins are not going to be very good this year. They are going to lie to themselves and say we are going to be very good this year, but they are not going to be very good this year. Tua is not it. They overpaid him, and it seems like the McDaniel thing is very much wearing off. The rap references, the guy in the just being quirky and funny at the microphone, Mike Jones, who? Mike Jones, like, that all was good when you're winning 11 games. When you're not winning 11 games and you have proven over the course of the last 3 years that you can't win in the month of December because it gets a little chilly outside. The Dolphins, I don't know that the Dolphins are going to be fully intact by the time the Commanders play them in Barcelona. It would not stun me if McDaniel is no longer the coach and they have just completely punted on this season. Tyreek Hill doesn't want to be there. Do not allow him to lie to you and say that he actually does want to be there.
He wants to hang out with Aiden Ross more than he wants to play football.
He wants to hang out with Aiden Ross. He wants to hang out there with Baby Gronk. And like, whatever you feel about Tyreek Hill, the person, I don't feel very good about him. But maybe you feel differently about Tyreek Hill, the person. An NFL player hanging out with like a weird 14-year-old is weird.
Confirmed.
There is no way to spin it that an NFL player hanging out with a dude whose dad is forcing him to be popular and basically buying women for the kid, that is weird. And Tyreek Hill was hanging out with Baby Gronk and just trying to hype up Baby Gronk. Weird. That situation is going to be a disaster. So maybe if you're Washington and you love Jalen Ramsey more than you love Marshon Lattimore, you put him in the trade, you get Jalen Ramsey, you're going to have to pay Jalen Ramsey. He wants a new contract. The issue that I have with Jalen Ramsey and why I would not go and get him, because let me make this abundantly clear, I don't really have a huge interest in Jalen Ramsey at this particular point in time. I have an interest in a pass rusher. I have an interest in somebody that can set an edge and stop the damn run when Saquon Barkley comes to town, or when you go and you play Saquon Barkley, or the Giants, because their no-named running back last year had nearly 120 yards in the first quarter, or whoever Dallas trots out there at running back. You got Bijan Robinson again on your schedule this year. Like, you play a lot of really good running backs, the Lions duo. I need someone that can go out there and set an edge. Now, Jalen Ramsey played well in run defense, so hooray for that, but he's also a cornerback. I don't want a cornerback to set an edge. I want a guy that can get after the passer and stiffen up this defensive line. So I'm not in on Jalen Ramsey at all. But if you are in on Jalen Ramsey, Lattimore needs to be part of the deal. And then they can deal Miami with his contract. You can pay Jalen Ramsey. And then in 2 years, when he outwears his welcome, like he has done in Jacksonville, like he has done in Los Angeles, and like he has now done in Miami, well, then you can decide to move on from him. And then hope, maybe, you make some sort of like crazy, massive package deal where when both guys seemingly outweigh their welcome, you can trade Laremy Tunsil and Jalen Ramsey, because those are two guys that have done the exact same thing. They are not in positions with teams for extended periods of time. And there are a lot of reasons. Like, you can point to the Rams' financial situation as to why Jalen Ramsey had to leave, but you can manipulate the cap very easily in today's NFL. If they wanted to keep him, they would have kept him. If the Miami Dolphins really wanted to keep him, they would keep him. They don't really want to keep him. He does not want to be there. I understand that he wants to win. I don't want Jalen Ramsey. And I know I'm in the minority because I see it on Twitter that everybody wants Jalen Ramsey. And I think most of you are falling for the name more than you are falling for the player. He was really good at times in Jacksonville. He's not a bad player by any stretch of the imagination, but he is not nearly the player that is going to be worth the money and then potential assets that he would command. And oh, by the way, it's not like you have a lot of assets to give up. The Commanders have 5 draft picks next year for the second year in a row in 2026. 5, which is another reason why if you do make this trade, you have to put a player in there. And the player that makes the most sense would be Marshon Lattimore, because it's not like you can take away from any other position, unless you want to trade like a Luke McCaffrey. But I don't think Miami is going to be like, yeah, we'll take Luke McCaffrey for Jalen Ramsey, straight up. That's not going to happen. So you need to trade a player in there. But again, I don't think the juice that Jalen Ramsey would bring is worth the necessary squeeze that Washington would have to make. It's the name over the actual production. It almost feels a little too Dan Snyder-esque. Oh, look at this big name player that wants out. We should go sell the farm to get him. We should go give up assets that we find to be valuable, deviate away from the current plan that we have in place, and go and get him. I'm not in on that. at all. I'm totally good on that. I think the Laremy Tunsil thing, as much as I have question marks about him, it makes sense because you need a left tackle that can block and a guy that can protect Jaden Daniels. The Debo thing makes a ton of sense. Didn't really work in San Francisco. They just weren't going to pay him. But he brings something to the offense that you did not have. What does Jalen Ramsey bring to the defense that you did not have, other than being an aging defensive back that is likely over the peak of his prime? The same way that Marshon Lattimore is. So if you already have one of those dudes, I'm not moving heaven and earth. I'm not moving nothing to go and get him, get another one of those dudes to then potentially push Trey Amos out, push Mikey Sanders still out. I don't see or want Mikey Sanders still or Trey Amos, at least at this point in time, to kick to safety. I'm sure someone's going to tweet me, which you can, at the Denton Day when we open up the phones on this topic at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Someone might say, Denton, just kick one of them to safety. I don't have any interest in kicking Trey Amos or Mikey Sanders still to safety for Jalen Ramsey in 2025. In 2018, hell yes, brother. In 2025, I have zero interest in making that a reality here. Good player, send him to Atlanta. If he goes to Dallas, Dallas is rumored with all of these things, sick. Let him go to Dallas. Terry will burn him a couple of times. Maybe Debo will burn him a couple of times. I'll be perfectly fine with that. I don't need to move heaven and earth to get that guy here, though. I just don't. And I think a lot of us are jumping too much on the name because the team was good last year. Everybody wants to win this year. I get it. I don't need Jalen Ramsey. I want your thoughts at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Do you want Washington to make a move for Jalen Ramsey after Jalen Ramsey says he is ready to start a new chapter? We will take your calls on that when we get back. A what do you got when we get back as well, that'll come with a little bit of life advice. It's something you don't want to miss. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you want Jalen Ramsey to be a Washington Commander in 2025? Ramsey put off a string of tweets last night signaling a new chapter on the horizon. When you put a string of tweets out saying it's time for something new, he is not just excited about OTAs. That's not how that works. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. If you want to weigh in on Jalen Ramsey, I'm good. Don't need him. Been a hell of a player for his career. Can't take it away from him. Won a championship. Great championship experience, I'm sure. Don't need him here. I don't need an influx of defensive backs, specifically defensive backs that are older. I want guys that can rush the passer. The biggest flaw that this team has had, as far as I'm concerned, this offseason, is not getting a guy that can rush the passer. It feels like they're relying a little too much on the journeyman, a little too much on the idea that somebody is going to take a massive step forward. I would have liked to see them bolster it more than they did with just a bunch of one-year deals and a guy in Javon Kinlaw that production-wise has not exactly been excellent in his NFL career. I know he's tied to Adam Peters. I'm going to trust Adam Peters, but I also would like a lot more help on the defensive line than what has been currently given. But we'll stick to Jalen Ramsey at the moment. Do you want the Commanders to make a move for Jalen Ramsey? 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. You can tweet me as well at the Denton Day. If you're watching us on YouTube, you can leave a comment. I'm reading the comments. If you're not watching us on YouTube, we're available every day, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time on the Team 980's YouTube page. Let's go to my guy Ross in Tampa. Ross, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, D?
Oh. I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. Before I get to the Jalen Ramsey stuff, because I went off to Max about it, you had mentioned an old name that brought back some memories because a lot of more names get mixed up. Marcus Lattimore convinced me that I wasn't good enough in the NFL when he and I met at a South Carolina camp back in 08. He kind of let me know that mowing down boys in Indiana as a running back is a little bit different than doing it in the South. And I'm like, man, that kid could have been a Hall of Famer at this point, but, you know, some injuries will do it for a running back. But no, I was telling Max, I'm good. I'm tired of this. We're not in that regime anymore when a football player who's in the back end of his prime or just now exiting his prime is available, or there's hints that he's available, and everybody got the eyeball emojis all over Twitter, and they're all excited. I'm like, oh, my God, let's get him. No, we ain't doing that. Because you know what had happened last time, Denton? You would know what happened if Snyder or Bruce Allen or whoever was still running the team. They would have given Gabe Taylor a 53-man roster spot right away.
Right away.
And then we're not talking about bringing in another DB because that spot would have been given. Now, I love Gabe Taylor. That's not a shot at him. I just know how the old team would have did things. But I don't want old guys coming in. I want Adam Peters to continue to do it in a slow-paced way. People don't understand. You can thank Ron Rivera and the old regime because Shaka Tony, James Smith Williams, Casey Tuhill, none of those guys did anything. And so you kind of got to just start fresh, man.
Right.
I do believe they're going to end up picking up a pass rusher during training camp when they're ready to be a part of a team. But man, I don't want no Jalen Ramsey. And but if you trade for Marcus Lattimore, oh, I did it too. Damn. If you trade for Marshawn Lattimore, then I'm cool with that too. But no, I don't need all these veterans, man.
No, I'm with you, Ross. I appreciate it. See, if you love college football, the Marcus and the Marshawn Lattimore thing is such an easy tie to make. But I agree with you in that this is, like, the reason that you bring in Adam Peters is because he is, to an extent, a wizard. You know, pun intended, DC, ha ha ha. But it also is to let him cook. And what did he cook up the best in his previous stops? He was a great drafter. He was great developing talent. Like, if you look at some of the guys that have been drafted under the watchful eye in some capacity of Adam Peters, you're not going to give him credit for 100% of all the dudes in San Francisco, Denver, and New England, but the track record of guys that he drafted that played a long time in the NFL or just even like fifth, sixth, seventh rounders that played more than 3 or 4 years in the NFL is actually astonishing. So that's what he is here for. I don't think he is a guy that just wants to retool with all big-name players like your Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey played in Jacksonville. We're going to Jacksonville. John is in Jacksonville. John, what's going on?
Good morning, Denton. Yes. So let me preface by saying I've been a Washington fan for over 50 years, but I've lived here for almost 40. So when he was drafted, you know, they loved it. He was a tremendous player, but it's not his playing capability that concerns me. I'm sure you've heard some of the antics with him. He did the backed up the Brinks truck because yeah, he wanted an extension. Yeah. Then when he really wanted out during a game, when Doug Marrone was still the head coach before Doug Peterson took over, or Urban Meyer, excuse me, he faked an injury, which was very obvious. He had a confrontation with the coach, basically embarrassed the coach. Coach told him to sit down. He wouldn't even listen to him. He is a malcontent. And based on what Dan Quinn is doing in Washington, that's the last thing you want. He's got a culture. I think this is a guy that would upset that more than anything else.
Yeah, so John, I appreciate the call. The Brinks truck thing I remember very vividly because I'm a pro wrestling guy, and that's about as pro wrestling as it gets. Literally backing up a Brinks truck. And he had like one of his boys or one of his agents with a megaphone jump out and basically cut like a WWE-style promo on why Jalen Ramsey needs to get paid. I would say that some of the issues that plagued Jalen Ramsey from a personality standpoint were just the fact that he was young. He was young, he was good, and as a cornerback, you have to have a level of personality where you are a little bit more brash. So that sort of stuff doesn't necessarily bother me. The confrontation with the coaches, there might be another question. If you're starting to confront like a Dan Quinn on the sideline, that might be something that goes sideways. We don't really need any more of the John Allen, Jerron Payne squaring up and having fisticuffs on the sidelines, especially now that this team is in a bunch of primetime games. You're basically every single game is going to be highly watched that takes the Commanders into consideration. So, like, you don't need a guy that is going to be what you described as a malcontent. I just don't think he's going to be good enough. I don't think he's in his prime right now. And as a cornerback, When you lose the prime, when you lose the speed, you're in a little bit of trouble. I think you can be a really good wide receiver upwards of 35 to 36 years old because there's so much nuance when it comes to route running and being able to create separation and win matchups. Cornerback is not quite like running back. I still think you can be good past the age of 30 years old, but it's very similar, probably the closest to running back, where it does feel like there's much more of a drop-off and a much quicker drop-off once you hit a certain age because you just start to lose some of the physical abilities that you had when you were younger. So I don't have any – again, I don't want Jalen Ramsey. But we're taking your phone calls, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's go out to Tyson's. My guy Alfred's in Tyson's. Alfred, what's going on?
Wanted to jump in on this conversation, Dan. I think it's asinine to say you wouldn't want a Jalen Ramsey. I mean, you're talking about a versatile player that can play outside corner slot. He can play the big nickel role as Jeremy Chinn. We've seen him do wonders with Raheem Morris. We've seen him also be productive in Miami. Last season was an anomaly with the fact that they had a new defensive coordinator, Anthony Weaver from the Ravens, but they didn't have a pass rush. And even if you took 2024 Jalen Ramsey and brought him on this team, he'd be their best defensive player. So to say you wouldn't want him, and especially you don't know what you're getting on the outside in a Trey Amos, you kind of know what Marshon Lattimore has been in this league. You seen Mikey, he had his struggles in the slot, kind of still had a productive rookie season.
But Mikey was great when he moved him outside. I mean, he excelled, even though he's short.
I mean, I don't want to say great. He was
the best DB on the outside.
He was solid enough, but at the end of the day, if you bring in a Jalen Ramsey in here that provides you that versatility of being able to play safety, corner, and all these different things, and being able to match up one-on-one in the tight end, he's an intelligent football player, high football IQ. I think all the other things, you've never heard any teammates speak negatively about him. So that's just like whatever, right?
Yeah, I mean, as far as like, real quick, I'll let you finish here. Yeah. I'm in agreement with you there. Like, no teammate has ever said anything bad about him. The thing with the coach was the thing with the coach. I like the Brinkstruck thing, honestly. I thought it was funny. I got what he was trying to do there. Off the field, yeah, he's never had any issues.
No, definitely. And I feel like even the guys that have coached him, such as Raheem Morris, such as Avero, who's the DC for the Panthers, everyone speaks so highly of him from a football acumen standpoint. If you put him into a situation like this with Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr., who have handled big personalities over the year, I mean, Dan Quinn had Richard Sherman. He's one of the most brass football players in the last decade, personality-wise. I just think that he would immediately make this team better, and someone that can go about spreading the game and the different nuances of the position to a Mike Sanders-Trail and Trey Amos to help them along the years. Because, I mean, I personally wouldn't feel comfortable starting the season with banking on Trey Amos as the opposite corner because he can't play the slot. So he has to play outside.
Yeah, he has to play outside. Yeah, you're right. Alfred, that's a great call. I appreciate it. You are correct in that Trey Amos is basically going to be outside or bust. He's not a slot guy, but he has the size and the length to play outside. I think the one of the main points is that you and I just stand at a different spot with Mikey. I thought Mikey was really good last year, especially at the end of the year. So I'm really excited to see what he's going to be like in year number two. It's just that I don't know what you would have to give up for Jalen Ramsey that would then justify bringing in Jalen Ramsey at this point in time. If it is a release, I mean, if the Dolphins are silly enough to release him, the problem is they're just not going to do that. There's going to be too much of a market that they're going to be able to get something in return. Maybe not a lot in return in relation to who Jalen Ramsey is, but they'll be able to get something in return for him trade-wise. So you would have to jump into the conversation with a trade of yourself, and then it then becomes how much assets do you have, how much do you want to give up. Again, if you do trade for Jalen Ramsey, Marshon Lattimore should be involved in that trade. I don't think you can have two of those guys outside, but if you bring in Jalen Ramsey and then get Lattimore out of there, you still have a functional defensive backfield to work with, and you're not sidelining either Mikey Sanders still or Trey Amos. Because regardless on how you think that Mikey was at the end of last season, if you disagree with me, I think he was really good. Maybe you think he was just good. Maybe you think he was average. Whatever your opinion is on him, I don't think anyone is going to say he should be benched. I want to see him on the field. I want to see him to continue to mature and get better at the defensive back position. Let's go to Lap in D.C. Lap, do you want Jalen Ramsey here?
Hey, what's up, Jen? I'm open to it, man. But that's a great point that you were saying about trading Lattimore for him, man. I didn't think of that. But, yeah, I would like to see both of them. But Sanders still, man, he was a beast.
He's a dog.
I'm going to tell you, though, Jen, I need our defense to really help the offense out because it looked like we might be leaning on the offense yet again. But this defense got to get stops, man, some kind of way, even forcing turnovers, holding teams, you know, three and out, holding teams to field goals, but definitely forcing turnovers. And that's what I'm kind of disappointed because I know Dan Quinn's defense has did a lot of forcing turnovers. We haven't done that yet. So I'm waiting for that to pop if we don't have that premier, you know, pass rush. Is Jadeveon Clowney still available? Because if he is, I think we need to go get him. But I am open for the Jalen Ramsey, though.
I mean, they need Lap. I appreciate it as always. They need a pass rusher. I don't know if Clowney's like the right guy, but they need a pass rusher. You're right on turnovers, by the way. It's been like an eternity since this team has had a good turnover forcing machine or turnover forcing year when it comes to defense. If you want to jump in on the conversation, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. The question, do you want Jalen Ramsey? Should the NFL go and get, or should the Commanders go and get Jalen Ramsey? Junkyard Dog is on the line. JYD, what's up?
How you doing?
I'm good, man.
I got a car or a truck to go get him. I can. Well, simply because I'm not, well, Adam Peters, everybody's singing his praises, but
yeah,
it seems to me that he is, you know, sometime when you know how back in the day, mom and dad would tell you, be patient, and something else will come down the line. I thought that, Lattimore doesn't fit here. First of all, the only thing I remember about Lattimore this year was that he played one game. He played against the Eagles. And he thought that he could go out there and huff and puff A.J. Brown and those guys or whatever. And you know what? They just laughed at him or whatever. If they can unload Lattimore for Ramsey, I would do it in a heartbeat. Because along the way, you got Mike on the other side, and then you got the kid coming in, the Amos or whatever. Then they will have somebody that they actually can learn from.
JYD, I appreciate it. I am envious that you only remember one game from Marshon Lattimore because I very much remember the first half of that Buccaneers game, and I would like to not remember the first half of that Buccaneers game because he was atrocious. Mike Evans had that dude looking like barbecue chicken. And it was not a good. It was not a good time. A couple comments in the YouTube chat. We are on YouTube at the Team 980. If you're not subscribed to the YouTube, go ahead and do so. The Kevin Sheehan Show is live 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. via video every day on YouTube. Thomas M says Jalen Ramsey is washed. He is too old for all that money. He does have a lot of money left in the contract, and I don't know. So I would have said probably 2 months ago that if you trade for a guy like Jalen Ramsey, you would then have to pay him. We said that about Laremy Tunsil, and they did not do that about Laremy Tunsil. They adjusted some of the money so he has more guarantees, but they did not immediately sign him to a new deal. So I don't know that you would have to bring Jalen Ramsey in and immediately sign him to a new deal, but he does have a lot of money wrapped up in that contract. Devin says that Ramsey is older and should be moving to safety soon. He's a great tackler in the open field. Great IQ. Would be amazing to add him to help the young guys for 2 to 3 years. If he moves to safety, that conversation, I think, is drastically different, Devin. So you brought up a great point that no one else has brought up, and I wasn't really thinking of, to be honest, because I have just solely thought of Jalen Ramsey as a cornerback. But if Jalen Ramsey is open to and wants to move to safety, that conversation is way different because I think he fits this defense significantly better at the safety position. So that's a very good point made by Devin in our YouTube chat. Again, watch us on YouTube. Subscribe to us on YouTube at the Team 980. The Kevin Sheehan Show is live 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. Craig Hoffman, 4 to 7. And you'll see a little bit of Denton's office on there as well throughout the course of the week during the offseason. Coming up, Jordan DeJani is going to join us from CBS Sports in about 20 minutes. But coming up when we get back, life advice from me in the form of a what do you got? It involves a DMV standout and water. You don't want to miss it. That's coming up when we get back. The DC Defenders are going out with a salute. Join them Friday, May 30th. That's tomorrow. At Audi Field for Hats Off to Heroes, a special night honoring our military, first responders, and armed service. Tickets at ufldefenders.com/tickets. That's ufldefenders.com/tickets.
All right, last night, the Nats, they get back in the win column, beating the Seattle Mariners 9-0. James Wood hit his 15th home run of the season, and Robert Hassel hit his first career home run of the big leagues. The Oklahoma City Thunder, they crushed the hopes and dreams of the Minnesota Timberwolves 124-94. MVP Shai Gilgeous-Alexander led OKC with 34.7 rebounds and 8 assists. The Florida Panthers, they pulled it out in the third period. The Caps killer Carter Verhaeghe scored the go-ahead goal, and they close out the Canes 5-3. Tonight, you get the Oilers. They're taking on the Dallas Stars at 8 on ESPN, and the Pacers look to finish off the New York Knicks at the Garden tonight at 8 on TNT. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Kevin Sheehan Show, Denton Day sitting in, and in this What Do You Got features a whole lot of life advice. If you are a wide receiver in the NFL, a player in the NFL, for that matter. I don't care what position you play. And someone comes up to you and says, hey, I got a boat. I got a lot of women that want your attention. You want to come on this boat? Your answer should be no. Stephon Diggs learned that the hard way. He was partying with Cardi B, hanging out. Cardi B was getting twerked on by a lot of people, Max, and none of them that I saw on video were Stephon Diggs.
I mean, we're supporting. We're being supportive.
I'm not critiquing their relationship. There's a whole bunch of different definitions for relationships nowadays that my generation has created that I don't know about. Or maybe not created, but they have popularized. Poly,
you should be very happy you don't know about it.
Nolly, whatever the hell it is. I don't know what they was doing. But Cardi B was on the boat. Stephon Diggs was on the boat. Cardi B was getting twerked on. And literally, I don't know who the camera person was. That camera person was not the friend of Stephon Diggs, though. I will tell you that. Camera person is focused on Cardi B getting a lap dance from somebody, if you could call it that, and then pans over to the right, and they see Stephon Diggs surrounded by a multitude of women. All of them were rubbing on his chest. I think one touched his face. It's kind of weird. Stephon Diggs was talking to him. I'm not a lip reader. I'm not going to try to do the lip reading thing. I did not need to read lips, however, when he pulled out a little baggie with some pink substances in there. There was a little bit of green in there, too. And I'm not talking money when I say green. It was a baggie that was multiple colored. And he handed it to one of the women. He said, don't take all of it. I don't know what was in that bag,
that's
Max.
That's sage advice right there.
It is sage
advice. That's somebody
advice.
Looking out for you.
It might have saved that person's life, depending on what was in the bag. I don't know what was in the bag. I cannot speculate as to what was in the bag. It wasn't his playbook, though.
No. You're not finding plays in there.
It was not that kind of plays. It wasn't cleats. It definitely wasn't cleats. No shoulder pads in there. Helmets, jerseys, none of that stuff.
Could have been some. What, you think they make pink creatine now?
Nope.
Well.
I don't think
so. Well, I tried, Stephon.
You tried. Now, this might surprise some of you based off of my appearance and apparent personality. I have never done cocaine.
Congrats.
Yep, not a drugs guy, so I don't know what it looks like in a bag. That looked like it, though.
I mean,
just pink. I don't know if that was a new thing. Like, I don't know what's pink in the drug game. I'm out of the loop in the fact that I was never in the loop. I don't know what's pink. But I know what you carry in a little baggie.
Yeah.
It's not good. And that's a wide receiver that was just signed to the New England Patriots after the Houston thing didn't work.
And you saw the, do you see the video of the Patriots receivers playing, doing the ball catching drill through traffic?
I did not.
They were not catching them. We'll just leave it at that.
So the Patriots receivers already in OTAs dropping the ball. Mike Vrabel was asked about this, and he said, we want to make good decisions on and off the field. And that screams, that's loud. That off the field is very, very loud.
Very.
And Stephon Diggs was not at OTAs. It's a bad look, man. It's a bad, bad look. Now, Diggs has been in the, he's been on front page news a lot this year in the entertainment section because he's hanging out with Cardi B. He's hanging out with Cardi B. Cardi B's not with Offset anymore. They're linked together. But then to be doing this, like when you're courtside at the Knicks games, that's sick. That's cool. That's all good. When you're on the boat with some substances, some paraphernalia.
Which are, by the way, very illegal to have on a boat. Like they're even great. More strict about on those types of things.
Very
dangerous. Especially if you're on the water.
Very, very dangerous. So not a good look by Stephon Diggs. When has being a wide receiver on a boat ever worked out? Has anyone checked on the Giants after the boat picture? Because it hasn't been good.
No.
Again, like if you are an NFL player and someone says, I got some bad looking women and a boat, you want to come hang out? You should probably say no.
But it's
especially
so,
if they got a camera. I mean, God
so
almighty.
Yeah.
Like it didn't look, maybe it was a phone camera, but even still, like you got to know, like you can't be putting that sort of stuff on the internet.
It's also very noticeable when somebody has a phone up like this in your face, like not even 5 feet away from you, is pointing it at you.
Like you should know that.
Yeah.
You should know that. You know, what's crazy is this was years ago. So this is a little bit of a deep cut, but if you're chronically online, you saw it. It was a video from the Vikings locker room, just kind of tongue in cheek. I don't know who was working the camera. It's not important. They're going around to everyone in the Vikings locker room and saying, who would you least like to date your sister?
I remember this.
And nearly everyone said, Stephon Diggs. And at the time, you're just like, all right, he's a wide receiver. You know, maybe he gets around a lot, like whatever. But this was in like 2000. I think this was pre-Minneapolis Miracle.
So 16, maybe?
This is like 2016, maybe 2017. I don't remember. I guess that Miracle was 18. So it might have been 2017. And you're thinking, all right, whatever. Like, it's just... It just is what it is, kind of a deal. Like I don't know. I get it now.
Oh, it makes.
I mean, I get it. I get it now. You know, you just don't. You don't need that. You don't need any of that. Just be smart when you're on boats. I'm gonna get on a boat this summer at some point, Max. I'm not gonna be doing.
You're gonna paddleboard
whatever.
Out there.
Well, if I'm just paddleboard, I'll paddleboard by myself. I don't need no boat.
True.
Just be on the Potomac, rowing away. But
pray
I will
to God,
not
you don't
be,
fall in.
Don't keep the small baggies on you. I have another what do you got here
Uh-oh.
That you just informed me of, and I think it's important to bring up here. Charlie Baker is the president of the NCAA. We're going to have Shehan Jeyaraja on in a little over an hour. He's going to talk college football, but there are changes happening across all of college sports. And Charlie Baker, who is the president of the NCAA, has basically put all the cards on the table and said, we are going to expand March Madness. Yuck.
Stop. Just
awful. Stinks. You know what? It doesn't even stink. It sucks. This is a terrible idea. This is some nimbecile saying we're going to fix what isn't broken. The NCAA is in American sports the most perfect model of what a tournament should look like. The regular season is already devalued in college basketball. Unless you are a massive fan of one particular school, you are not watching college basketball year-round. It's partly my job to watch that damn sport, Max, and I'm not watching college basketball year-round. It's just not happening. It is now it's even less of a draw when everyone's going to get in, because it's not like they're just going to add two or three. Like, they're probably going to get the number to 80, so they can get just about everybody in the SEC and Big Ten into the dance. I don't want to watch this. I thought last year's tournament was good. It was perfect, almost. You got a little bit of upsets, but the upsets didn't take away from the good teams playing. I want the good teams. Upsets are fun. That first weekend, after that, no upsets. I want good teams and good teams only. We got that last year. This is all about money. And the reason this ties into college football is because all of the changes that college football is making is all about the money. This is what happens when you take something that is crafted unbelievably well, and then somebody comes in with a just mega uber capitalistic stick and says, we will crush all of the fun to make as much money as possible. As much money as possible. We are going to squeeze every little penny out of this thing that we have, and we are going to then in turn end up ruining this. So, I mean, what is going to happen now with 80 teams, with 76 teams, whatever that number is actually going to be? You basically expand the tournament for a week. Well, most people, the 3 weekends that it is perfect because it gives you something to look forward at the end of each week. You get the playing games on like your Tuesdays and your Wednesdays, and then Thursday through Sunday, basketball, break. Thursday through Sunday, basketball, break. And then you get your Saturday Final Four, your Monday National Championship, and then you ride off into the sunset and you don't care about college basketball again for the next 11 months. Expanding it, I don't think, is going to give them the results that they are looking for, but it's going to make them enough money to justify doing it. And that's the part that stinks. Because I can't push back against the money. It's a money-making industry. They're going to make money. Television companies are going to pay for these extra games. Advertisers are going to pay for these extra games. It's stupid. It's going to dilute something that has been very, very good and very, very sick for a long time. Sick as in the positive way, not sick as in the need of help, but they're treating it like it's sick in the need of help because a couple of SEC coaches over the course of the years, and ironically, you know who one of the voices was that complained the most, Max? I'm going to test your college basketball knowledge. No? No shot?
I'm trying to think.
He's in the SEC, and he's not in the SEC anymore. 2 years ago, it was 2 or 3 years ago, Texas A&M was on the outside looking in. Buzz Williams not thrilled about it. Buzz Williams now the coach of Maryland.
It's true.
It's not him in specific that has led us to the point where the NCAA tournament is now completely screwed, but he didn't help matters. He complained, Texas A&M's big sillies complained, and now Charlie Baker is going to do this to make some money. The NCAA needs the money because they got to pay out billions of dollars to athletes that they did not allow to get paid prior. Coming up, Jordan DeGianni, CBS Sports. We'll get back to the NFL, go around the NFL with him, including just how likely a Jalen Ramsey to Washington scenario actually is. Mark Zuckerman, in 35 minutes, talk about the Nats. Big win for them yesterday. Don't go anywhere. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day, sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.